Lots of you have been getting in touch with your suggestions as to how the surplus in the billions of euro should be spent and the projected surpluses for the next number of years should be spent. Social Justice Ireland are calling for how it should be done. One-off windfall tax revenue should be invested in infrastructure. With me in the line to talk about this is Colette Bennett, who's Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Colette, good morning to you. Thanks for joining me in the programme.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So how should we spend the money?
Well, because these are windfall, we don't expect that they're going to continue certainly into the long term. So really the main focus would be infrastructure in building. Every dog on the street knows that there's a housing crisis in this country. We know that we are in the midst of a health crisis as well. So there are certainly areas that we could do with injecting this kind of spending in. We estimate there's 133,000 houses that are actually needed when you look at social housing alone. And where that comes from is the social housing list, the actual waiting lists themselves, and that the HAP and RAS tenancies. So tenancies that are in the private rented sector, but who the Taoiseach himself have actually said are really social housing tenants. If you bring them into proper real social housing that's long term and supports their needs, then that frees up at least 60,000 units in the private rented sector. If you inject that amount of supply into the private sector, then what you're doing is that would have an impact on price. So that the aim would be to reduce rental costs as well as increasing social housing provision.
Okay, so the that's the housing area. One question on that. We haven't been able to spend the amount of money that we have put towards it. So it's a question of, as well as maybe spending and projecting spending for the infrastructure, that we manage it better.
Oh, 100%. So what the government is saying at the moment is it's not for the want of having the money available, it's actually capacity within the system. So it depends on where you're looking for that capacity. If we think as far back as 2007, we had hundreds of thousands of people come over from accession states in the EU and from outside the EU to build. They all left once the crisis hit. We need to be looking at how we can attract people to come back to actually build the homes, how we can have qualifications recognised, what qualifications we are actually looking for in terms of the type of building we want now, that we're not looking at just throwing up the way we did back in 2007, any old unit, and we have the kind of crisis, the mica, the pyrites that we've seen fall out of all of that. We're looking at building sustainable long-term homes and that are energy efficient. So all of that requires skill sets that are available, but we need to buy them in. We then need to increase the capacity in our own apprenticeships, make sure that it's attractive for kids leaving school, that it's not just straight into college if that's not right for them, that it's attractive to go and get a trade, to be an apprentice, to learn those skills while on a job. And then look at things like procurement as well, so that we're taking advantage of bulk buying, that we're making sure that the rules are properly applied in terms of the quality of what we're procuring. And so it does require, and then obviously the methodologies, the type of builds that we want. It's no longer really building with concrete one-off houses. We're looking at more modular homes that you can almost kind of flat pack for all the world, but still meet the building regulations and the standards that we want. So with all of that, as well as the investment side of it. But, you know, and I take that point from government, absolutely, but let's not lose sight of the fact that investment was not forthcoming for over a decade.
Yep.
That what is being invested now should have been the norm for the last at least 5-6 years.
You're looking for, we talked about car journeys there in public transport, investment in public transport, and also in renewable energy.
Yes, so certainly, I mean, I listened with interest in terms of the conversation around the public transport. And absolutely, you know, congestion charges don't make sense until there's proper public transport, there's proper alternatives. I live in rural Ireland myself, and I can't get a bus or a train after a certain time in the evening from Dublin. So if I have a meeting in Dublin, I need to bring the car. So unless you have a proper alternative in place, you can't really introduce these kind of charges. And I think it's quite interesting that the Taoiseach is essentially saying that the targets around public transport and green transport won't be introduced or won't be met within the term of government, if that's what he's saying around the congestion charges. But certainly we need to start looking at green public transport, that's sustainable, electric fleets. You know, they're starting to be trialled at the moment, but they need to be more mainstream. But a part of all of that is obviously the road infrastructure as well. So there's no point in having this beautiful fleet of electric vehicles if there aren't any charging points and the roads aren't up to bring them along. We also need to invest in our renewable energies. So we've seen in the last just over a year what having an energy security crisis can do, what it can do in terms of the cost of living, but also in terms of our own security. So we have a perfect location in terms of offshore wind, and we haven't invested the necessary into that, into building the infrastructure and getting that up and running. I know from Minister Eamon Ryan, he had a piece in the papers last month talking about the cost that would be involved there, and you're looking at billions of euro to build that infrastructure between 2030 and 2050. So now is the time to invest in all of that while we have the money to spend on it.
Yeah, you're also looking, Colette, at you're calling for them in terms of income distribution away from infrastructure for the moment. You want core social welfare rates to be benchmarked and indexed against average weekly earnings and increase. Is that a dangerous road to go down, increasing current spending based on windfall taxes that may not be there into the future?
Well, what we're saying is if you spend the... At the moment, we have a very high level of current expenditure because... For example, if you look at social housing, we're paying into the private sector, into private rents, rather than actually building. So if you get that right, it frees up current expenditure that might properly be spent on current costs. We have a cost of living crisis. And with the report, or the update that came out yesterday in terms of the stability pact, all of that is based on, or that the response to the cost of living crisis and the inflation crisis is based on a levelling out of incomes. Now, that won't apply to people who are on very low paid incomes, very low paid employment, and anybody on core social welfare.
Yeah.
So we need to have that addressed as well, because while there are an awful lot of reports, and it drives me bonkers, but there are an awful lot of reports going on at the moment that inflation is decreasing. Inflation is not decreasing. The rate of inflation is decreasing.
Yeah, it's still, the prices are still high, and they're still putting people under pressure.
And they're still rising. So inflation was 7.7% last month. That means that prices are higher in this March by 7.7% than they were last March. Last March, they were higher by 8.5% than the year before. So it's building on top of each other. And social welfare rates have not kept pace with that at all. In fact, what was given in the last budget, the 12 euro increase, is a real-time decrease of 8 euro. So we're calling on government to make that right.
Okay, finally, you're calling on this, you know, taxation, housing, infrastructure, income distribution, for money to be put towards those things. Is there any caution in what you're saying? A rainy day fund and also the need to pay off and pay down the national debt?
Absolutely. I mean, we're very in favour of a rainy day fund, it comes down to using taxation properly. So taxing corporates properly, making sure that we're introducing the new corporation tax system, that we're doing that effectively, that there aren't these loopholes that are created at the moment, that they're going to all be avoided, that the investment is sustainable and is appropriate, that when we are actually spending the money, and that we are looking to the future then in terms of expanding out our and broadening our tax base. When it comes to paying down our national debt, we need to stop thinking about it as if it's a house mortgage. We're running a country, and the example that we kind of tend to go to is the First World War debt that Britain had. They only finished paying that off in 2015. So they took a very long-term sustainable, once you can hit the cost of servicing the debt, you can pay it over an extended period of time. We suggested that the COVID costs, and now the costs in terms of the Ukraine war, or the invasion of Ukraine, that they would be ring-fenced, they'd be warehoused, so that they're separate from the running costs to keep the country going. And that would allow for different approaches to be taken and a much more long-term approach for those.
Okay. All right. Listen, Colette, it's interesting. We'll see where it goes and what the Minister for Finance and Minister of Public Expenditures decide to do with the budget that is coming down the line. But thanks very much for giving us Social Justice Ireland's view on it this morning.
Thanks so much.